And when did you sign up, Bob? Did you sign up before?
At what stage of the war? Would all this have been before you signed up?
Long before I signed up. This was in...
This was September 39.
And the U.S., where I lived at the time, wasn't even in the war.
I know that.
And I thought at the time that they should be, that they should enter the war, but they had no intention to. Most people didn't. Although I suspect that Roosevelt secretly thought that he was going to get them in to the war. No, I wasn't in the war, so I went on working and doing various things. Ended up with another fellow and I, a meat market, and we used to sell meat. But it was from that meat market that I decided, and that was one of my friends, and I decided we'd clear out and go up and join the army in Canada. And I thought, well, I had this classification of 4C, they called it. Everybody had to be classified for the draft, you see, in the States. And I sent in my particulars, and they sent me back this 4C card. And all my friends would have given their right arm to have a 4C card to keep them out of the army. But I said, that's wrong. It was for an undeclared alien. Well, in the States at that time, there were two kinds of aliens. Aliens who had never declared any intention of becoming an American citizen, and aliens who had declared an intention, and that was an official thing. You filled out a declaration of intention and filed it. And I had done this when I was 18, nearly 5 years before. So I told these friends of mine, I'm going to write and tell them that they made a mistake. And they told me, you're crazy, you know. But I did. I wrote and told them, you've made a mistake, that I'm a declared alien, not an undeclared alien. And almost by return mail, I got reports for medical examination, which I did do, and they turned me down because I had five teeth missing in the front. And they
How
said,
have you got them missing?
Oh, they'd become ulcerated when I was a young fellow, and I got them pulled out because they were
neglected.
Well, early on it was, but partly that was due to the inefficiency of this dentist that filled the very front one with fillings, and he made a mess of it. Anyway, I had these false teeth, and they told me, they said, this just means a slight delay because we haven't got barrack accommodation for everybody, and we're putting you in 1B instead of 1A, and in a few months' time, you'll be called up because there will be barrack accommodations and so on. But I thought then that I had given the Americans a chance to have my marvelous services.
What time was this? America still wasn't in the war.
They weren't in the war, but it was 1941, this was. Mm. And I said, well, I'll go up and join the army in Canada. And I did do that. And after I was in the army in Canada a little while, I got this notification to report to Fort Dix. And I also got a notification to report and be sworn in as an American citizen. This declaration of intention had come. It was too late then. I was in a foreign army in Canada, and so that was, I had burned my bridges as far as being an American citizen was concerned. So that was 1941. It was before the U.S. was in the war, but it was long after Molly had been all through the Battle of Britain and God knows what by that time. And I'd been sitting in the lap of luxury, as it were, in the States while they were going through all this rough stuff.
And what were you doing? What else were you doing during the early part of the war?
Early part of the war? Well, I was doing continuation of these jobs, that sort of thing. But I forget how long it was we had this meat market, which was a little bit better. We were starting to make a fair sort of a living, $15 or $20 a week, which in those days was pretty good. It would have got better, but just as I told you one time before, my father got me on with him as a carpenter to try and hold me, make me change my mind about going up and joining the army in Canada. And I worked 4 months, I think it was 4 months with him, and enjoyed that. I made more money than I'd ever made before, and the work was better. But I, my mind was made up by that time. I was definitely going to go up and join the army in Canada.
Well, Walter certainly with you. Did you influence him, or did he influence
you? He influenced me more than vice versa.
And he had one eye that didn't work.
One eye was bad. It wasn't a good eye. Yeah, he had gone up on his own to Montreal to look, and he had had this hankering to go and join the Canadian army before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd been up and talked with some of the Americans that he'd met up there who had joined the Canadian army and so on. Mm-hmm. And he had this eye trouble.
And he memorized eye stuff.
When we got in the army, I got in, they put me in the, we were both in the tank, the army corps, and they put me right in the regular ones, and but him, they wouldn't. He, because of his eye, he was put in, he had some clerical training, like bookkeeping and typing and so on, and so they put him in the clerical branch, and he ended up working in an orderly room, you know, typing out all the orders, daily orders and everything, and he hated that, and he kept trying to get out of it, and he had kept getting these eye tests, and they kept turning him down because one of the eyes was bad. Finally, he memorized all the eye charts that he knew of, and he could read them off by memory, and this final time when they tested him, they had this card over his bad, his good eye, and he could only see with his bad eye, and then while they had it over there, they said to the guy, change the chart, on, and they didn't remove it, you see, and he said they changed it, and he just took and made a guess. There were, I don't know, two or three or four charts that they had, and he guessed it was a certain one, and he happened to guess right, and so then he read that off by memory, and he got it right, so he got into the regular sort of troops, and he actually went in on D-Day with the tanks, but he got his foot caught in the traverse of the tank and crushed his foot just as he landed, and he was lucky that he did, because that regiment, I saw later, films captured from the Germans, they had knocked all his regiment out, the Germans had. And I remember seeing the film of these Germans coming up to this smoking tank, and it was obviously one of his regiment, sort of cautiously coming up with submachine guns and getting up and aiming them into the tank to see if there was anybody alive in there. And so he was lucky that he crushed his foot, actually. Anyway, that was...
Was he an American citizen?
No. He was born in England, and he was, well, he thought he was an American citizen, and I don't think he was. After the war, I was talking to his widow in last July, and she said they had a hell of a time to get him in as a full American citizen. This was when the war was over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd been, it wouldn't have been any difficulty, apparently, if he hadn't gone up and joined the Canadian mm-hmm. Army. But since he had, there was difficulty. But he thought he was an American citizen because his father had become naturalized before he was 18 years old, which is the thing we had been told that you had to be in order to be automatically an American citizen, which I wasn't because my father had never done that. And he thought he was, but he finally got straightened out, but it took them quite a while after the war was over. Yeah. So, anyway... That was how I